Good morning and welcome everyone to Bridge City Church Murraysville campus. Pastor Eric, for those of you who haven't gotten the opportunity to meet me yet, and campus pastor here, we are in this series titled Set Free, because we believe God wants us all to be free and not in chains and in bondage and in slavery in any way, but to be free as his children. Do you believe that? John 8:36, a verse we've been launching out of each and every week, that so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. How many of you ever heard that before? Right? Okay, audience participation is going to be really good. So if you hear something you agree with, you can say amen. Amen, just saying yes, you agree with it. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen. Amen. Right? And talking about Jesus sets us free. And he says if he's released us from bondage, released us from, removed the restrictions of sin and darkness, if he's delivered us by God into true spiritual liberty and growth, then you will be liberated, unbound, unshackled, free to realize your destiny in Christ. That's what that breakdown, the true meaning of that verse is saying, that when Jesus sets you free, you're really free. Jesus is saying, like, literally free, not just a little free or partially free. Like, you're free. Indeed. He puts a stamp on it. He wants us to know this and believe this so that it would affect our lives. And how many of you know that distance from your head to your heart can be a long ways? We know it in our head, but are we believing it in our heart? Are we allowing it to lead and guide our lives and our decision-making and how we live our lives? And you're just curious of, you can participate again. You know, when the alarm clock goes off, how many of you hit the snooze button? How many of you, okay, put your hand, how many of you, like, it's, you get up before the alarm clock, all right, or first time you get up? So there's some morning people, some not so morning people, right? Maybe you don't even set an alarm. You just wake up at 6 a.m. automatically like I do often. Or if you have little ones, they wake you up. You don't need to wake up. You don't need to set an alarm. But the idea, what do we do when you go to a restaurant? Do you pick the grilled chicken salad with a vinaigrette? Or you're like, I want that breaded, deep fried gravy, cheese, the fries, right? What determines the decisions we make? And I'm having a light fun about it, but the decisions we make determine a lot about who we are, right? Who we are, our being, and not just whether you are a morning person or a night person, but deeper questions and really why we do the same things over and over and over again. Any of you know somebody that, you know, they just do the same thing over and over and over, maybe yourself, or you get stuck in the same rut or routine of life. Now, there can be good things with that, but it can also be really bad as well. It takes both. But really unpacking today, we're going to look at why we do what we do, why our destructive mindsets or negative mindsets, that identifying the things that are problematic, but then how do we overcome them? How do we truly move into freedom? But you do what you do because of what you think of you. Sounds like a riddle. It's not a riddle. You do what you do because of what you think of you. And that's kind of the overarching theme throughout this message today, is understanding that we do what we do because of what we think about us, right? Theology is what you think about God. Vitally important, absolutely necessary. But a lot of times people have some good theology and like, God can do this. God can provide. God can heal. God is able to do anything. He is God. But then the second part is our identity is the problem we're having. What do I think about me? I know God can, but he wouldn't do it for me. Why would God show up in my life? I prayed before and he didn't answer. He didn't show up. He didn't give me, but somebody else got a breakthrough. Somebody else got a promotion. Somebody else got something that I've been praying for and longing for. And we start to question and really think less of ourselves, rather than remembering that theology and our identity go hand in hand to help us make the decisions in our lives. So do you believe God can set you free? Do you believe he wants to? I mean, if Jesus literally said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed, and there's so many other times he talks about us being free, then we should know at least that he wants to and he can, right? So then we got a question, what do we think about ourselves? Is it my thought pattern? Is it the way I'm making decisions in my life that are withholding and holding me back? So today, we'll be set free spiritually from destructive mindsets by the name of Jesus. So we've been singing about all morning, the blood of Jesus and the word of God. Three things that are so powerful. There's a lot of things that can help you, can be a part of the solution. But these three things, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God is what we're going to focus on today. You know, I don't think I need to tell anybody, but it's a good reminder. If you look at statistics, and I've been checking out statistics of depression, anxiety, panic attacks, fear, suicide, the rates just keep going up. Every year, there's more and more and more people on antidepressants, on medications, and counseling and therapy, taking their own life. Biology and psychology can help, but I want to address things spiritually. We're a spiritual house. We believe we're spiritual beings in physical bodies. There's physiological and biological elements that play into it, but if we don't address it spiritually, I think we're just treating symptoms rather than the real issue. We live in a fallen world. We live in a place where people don't see hope. They don't see a purpose. They don't see value, and they're longing for somebody to show them and really to point them to Jesus. That's what we do here as a church. We point you and try to highlight Jesus, that how great he is, how great God is. Don't worship us, worship him, because he's the one worthy of worship. His name, his blood, and his word. You know, there's a stigma, though, about these things, especially in Christendom. And I think that the pendulum has swung over the years. It used to be you can't talk about depression in church. You can't talk about anxiety. Like, there's a stigma about it, right? And like, as a Christian, you shouldn't feel this way. Well, I think that stigma, which was bad, has swung so far to now I feel like Christians are being, their illness is their identity. Well, this is just the way God made me. This is just who I am. I'm just a depressed person all the time. And I'm like, neither one is right. It should not be your identity, but we need to talk about it too. We shouldn't hide it and pretend it's just going to get better with time. We need to address things and be really honest with them spiritually. You know, mental illness is still something that so many people don't understand, and they treat it so different than we treat a physical illness or an aid, right? If you're wearing glasses, nobody looks at you like you're less of a Christian. Well, you need some help to see better. Like, why don't you just pray and you could see better? Nobody would think that. If they do, they're a jerk, and don't talk to them anymore. Pray for them. But the idea, like a physical aid, if somebody has a physical, when somebody gets the flu, you don't go, oh, didn't have enough faith. Must be a certain Christian. They're not much of a Christian. Like, we would never do that with somebody's physical ailment, but why do we do that with mental illness? Why do we do that when somebody's depressed? Why do we do it when somebody's anxious? Why do we do that when somebody's wrestling with something mentally? Whether it's biological, physiological, or spiritual, we should treat it the same. We should love the people no matter what, not judge them for maybe whatever that cause is, but to help them. Somebody asked me this week, what do we believe as a church about medication and counseling and therapy? And there's absolutely a need for sometimes. For people who need medication, absolutely, get medication. I believe there's seasons you can need medication. There's periods of time. Medication, we're not saying no to medication, or you should feel bad for taking any kind of medicine or getting therapy or counseling. I've been in therapy counseling sessions myself as a participant, not just doing them. There's times and places for that. My concern is we go there first rather than pray and go through the spiritual attack first. Why do we pray as a last resort rather than let's pray as a first resort? Let's get around some other people who can pray for us. Let's get in a group. And you'd go through that for time and season. Today we're going to have prayer team. We have prayer teams lined up to pray for you because I believe I want to address everything spiritually. And as you need other help, go get other help. But let's start with spiritually. Let's start with going to God. That my illness is not my identity. As I mentioned, so many people, they hold on to that identity. It's not who I am. It's where I am right now. Maybe you've been diagnosed with something. Maybe you have a personality disorder, anxiety disorder, depression, whatever that mental illness or any illness for that matter. That's not who you are. That's where you are right now. That's what's happening to you. Part of your journey. But think about this. The Apostle Paul suffered emotionally. He struggled with so much. The apostles themselves, Peter and James, they wrestled with so much. When you read the Gospels, you're like, these guys are messed up, right? But that wasn't their identity. It's where they were at that moment. Jesus himself had struggles in the natural. It did not identify him. It was where he was through that journey. But our mindsets and reasons we get stuck in how we think and what we think, often based on things we've learned We've learned destructive or negative thought patterns often from parents, from siblings, from aunts, uncles, from you name it. Where does that come from? It's not to blame them. It's say, look, we all have some influences in our lives that aren't the best. Sometimes there's things that happen to us. They imprint on our minds. They affect the way we think and the way we process in our minds. But Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." That as we think, that understand that what we think about ourselves matters so much. How we think, that word think there in the Hebrew, it says to calculate, to keep track, and to take account. But what happens when we have a miscalculation? Right? Who we are, as we think in our hearts, as we believe who we are, that becomes our identity. But what if it's miscalculated? What if it's off a little bit? What if it's based on some things that have been said to you or things that have been done to you? Because what you think about you is going to determine so much of your decision-making and so many of your actions moving forward. But how many of you know it's often easier, and we're all guilty of it, right? We all are attracted to the negative news more than the positive news. That's why the news is so popular, because it's all negative, right? Negative news travels faster than good news. If it weren't so, the gospel would have been around the globe a million times by now, and everyone would be following Jesus, and he would return. But instead, negative news travels so much faster. You know, occasionally I tell people, we get lies, and you've probably all seen the cartoon where there's like an angel and there's a demon on the shoulder, and they're whispering to you. It's actually like not too far from what actually happens. Like, God's trying to speak to us. He's guiding us. He's leading us as a loving father. And then there's demonic forces, the enemy. He's saying, don't do that, or you're not good enough, or you're whatever fill in the blank thing that you've been listening to, the lies, maybe from a parent, a teacher, a boss, maybe the lies you tell yourself. And sometimes I tell people, you got to be careful, but I say, sometimes it's easier just to agree with the devil. When he says, you're not good enough, you can't save anybody, you're never going to, and say, you're right. You're right. It's not up to me. It's God's the only one who can save. You know, it's not me, but Christ in me is more than enough. Yeah, you're right. I screw up. I make mistakes. I've sinned. I've fallen short. You're right. But thank God Jesus died for my sin. Thank God that there's a way that I don't have to live and earn my salvation, but God has already made a way. Sometimes just disagree with the devil and the lies that he's spewing to you and say, okay, but God, his grace, his mercy is more than enough. Because the lies the enemy tells us twists our minds. It diverts you from your purpose and destiny, distracts you from hearing God's voice, and destroys relationships that matter. If you've ever had a miscommunication with somebody, and you thought they said this, or they heard you a different way, and that relationship went south, it's something, the lies of the enemy that he does. He distorts, he distracts, he diverts, he twists, and he destroys relationships that matter. Relationships are so important to our freedom, right? Like even Lazarus, as he came out of the tomb, Jesus said, like, unwrap him. He couldn't unwrap himself. He needed others to help unwrap the burial clothes. Likewise, we have groups coming up in 2 weeks that we need one another to help one another get free and stay free, and to help each other process through the lies of the enemy to get us back on track, to help us hear God's voice, and to build relationships that matter. Jesus talked about Satan this way in John 8:44. He's having this long dialogue, same chapter as the son who sets you free will be free indeed. The same chapter, he's talking mainly to the Pharisees here, and he calls them out, the religious leaders. He says, you are the children of your father, the devil. Talk about truth, right? From Jesus. Jesus said it. He says, you are the children of the father, the devil, of your father, the devil. You love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Jesus is really calling these guys out because he said, from the beginning, he was a murderer. The Pharisees, these religious leaders, they had just brought a woman caught in adultery and they wanted to kill her. They wanted to put her to death. He goes, that's something Satan would do. But what did Jesus do to her? He says, I don't condemn you, but yet go and sin no more. He spoke with mercy and love, but he also had grace to say, But stop sinning. Stop living this way. Stop doing this that's not helping and is not healthy for you to do. He still spoke to her in truth and love, where the Pharisees, they just wanted truth. And what happens when there's all truth and no love? You just hurt people. And that's what they were doing. He calls these guys out, and he talks about who the devil is. He is a liar. He literally says it's as consistent with his character. It's who he is, the father of lies. Now contrast that with God. God cannot lie because he is truth. He's the father of truth. He's the creator of truth. He is truth. It is character, his nature, his purpose, that God is truth, because truth leads us to freedom. God leads us to freedom. So whenever you're hearing the lies, or you've been involved in lies or negative thoughts, and when we get used to listening to them, it's really hard to distinguish from truth and lie. I mean, listen, look at the media. If you watch the media long enough, you won't know what's true and what's not. It confuses and distorts what truly is true. We get used to those negative thoughts. Things like, you may say, I will always be addicted. I will never get ahead. I will always be poor. I will always have this problem mentally. I will always have this fill in the blank. But those are the lies that the devil tries to speak to us. And I want you to start hearing the truth of what God says about you. So starting with the truth, Ephesians 5, verse 8 and 9. This is something that the Apostle Paul is writing. And he wrote this similarly in multiple cases. He said, once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. What are those first couple words he says there? For once you were full of darkness. He's speaking to people who are followers of Jesus. He said, you once were full of darkness. Pretense, past tense, pre-Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus right now, he says this to you. You were full of darkness. You're not full of darkness right now. If you accepted Jesus as the forgiver of your past, that he set you free, then you truly are free, and you're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore. You're in the kingdom of light. Not because of what you've done. He says, but now you have the light from the Lord. God's given you that light. God has made it a way for you to move from the darkness into the light. He said, so because that's happened, because you were once in darkness and now you're in the light because of God's grace, live as people of light. Stop going back to the ways of the darkness. That's what they were doing. They were talking and getting all caught up in the ways of the darkness, of the worldly things, of the evil things. He says, stop doing that. Live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. The enemy will tell you you're still in darkness. He'll say, like it sounds like this, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? No wonder that person got the promotion you did. No wonder that person's married and you're not. No wonder that person's kids look perfect on Instagram and yours seem like they're always causing problems. No what? And he starts to speak these lies to you because he's trying to keep you and pull you back into darkness rather than being people of the light and focusing forward on God. There's an evangelical pastor. He's about 90 years old. His name is Charles Swindoll. Some people call him Chuck. He got the quote from him. He says, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you react to it. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not trained in that area, but I know there's terminology in psychology of this idea of if every one of us were put into a room by ourselves and somebody threw a snake in the room, how would you react? Some of us, like me, may scream really loud. No. You'd be like, I didn't know there's a woman in there with them. No. I hate snakes. I'm afraid of snakes. I'm humble enough to admit it. I don't like snakes. But some of you would probably know what type of snake that is and just pick it up. And others of you, you might just pass out, right? But the difference is we all react differently to circumstances happening to us. That's how the same exact thing can happen to people, but yet we have very different results. We respond differently. Whether we go to trauma, whether we go to a different way of healing and moving forward. But that idea of life is 10% what happens to you. And this is a quote. It's not like it's proven fact. It's not the word of God. But so much of this is true. What if 10% of life is your circle? This is going to happen. This is the way life is going to happen to you or around you. 90% of it is choosing how you respond and react to it. I like the word respond better because it's a little less like instantaneous. Reactions, like, that's the scream. But then you still got to respond to a snake in the room. You got to respond to whatever's going on. But responding is our choice. It really is so much. We have so much more power. You have so much more power to choose how you respond to what's happening to you, what's happening in you. I want to encourage you with that. It's not you control everything, but man, when you step back and look at it, you have a lot more power within you, that light of God in you, than you think and maybe recognize. So three things. How do we get set free spiritually? Well, there's the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. The first one there, the name of Jesus. That's things that are consistent with his nature, his character, and the purposes of God. Remember, the father of lies, the devil. It was consistent for him to lie. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus literally means God saves. In the Hebrew, it was Yahweh saves, Yeshua. Yahweh saves, God saves. So when you say Jesus, you're not, as Jared mentioned, you're not just saying a name like Jared or Mary or Rachel. You're saying the Lord saves. You're speaking salvation every time you say the name Jesus. That's why when we pray and we say in Jesus' name, and actually three different times Jesus taught in John 14, 15, and 16, among other places, he says, when you pray to the Father, say, ask in my name. He said, ask in the name of Jesus. What you're saying is not using a magic word like hocus pocus or abracadabra. You're saying God saves and his will and his according to his nature, his character, and his purpose. That's when we pray in Jesus' name what we're saying. It's not just, God, give me a Ferrari in Jesus' name and he's going to do it. He's saying, no, you got to pray in consistency with his nature, his character, and his purposes. According to his will. When we pray according to his will, we go to the Father, and then we pray in the name of Jesus that Lord saves, he will answer. He will direct. He will guide. And to help you with this a little more, Philippians 2 talks about how at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That every name will bow to the name of Jesus. That means anxiety will bow to the name of Jesus. Depression will bow to the name of Jesus. Cancer will bow to the name of Jesus. Whatever that thing is, that every sickness, every disease, every mindset, everything, negativity will bow in Jesus' name. It might just not happen in this moment, but it will happen because the Word of God says it will happen in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Philippians 2, he says, when the 72 disciples came back, Jesus sent them out. He said, go out. He gives them his authority, gives them instruction. They come back and they're so excited. They say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They weren't subject to those guys. They were subject to those guys because they came in the name of Jesus. And Jesus then responds to them. Like, they're so excited because, you know, I think most of us, we have this idea of demons and the devil, like, big scary things. Jesus isn't afraid of the devil. He's not afraid of any demon. We shouldn't be either. And he says right here, because the guys came back, and I'm sure they were sent out with a little timidity, maybe a little bit of fear, and they're like, hey guys, this is awesome. They obey us in Jesus' name. But Jesus speaks to them. He says, let me tell you guys something. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Jesus says, man, these guys that you think are scary, I saw the top dog, Lucifer, fall like lightning. And God and the devil aren't in this wrestling match that's going to take years and centuries and millennia. They're not wrestling right now because in a second, God cast Lucifer out of heaven. It was a flash of light. It wasn't this long, drawn-out battle like humans have. God kicked him out of heaven in an instant. And when you read Revelation, like what's going to happen coming in the future when Jesus returns, he says he speaks a word, and they're wiped out in an instant. In an instant. And I believe there's some times where, yes, there's therapy, there's counseling, there's medication, there's a process of getting free, a process of transformation. But what if God wants to heal you in an instant? What if God wants to remove that negative mindset, that trauma, that thing that's in your mind that keeps coming back up? What if he wants to remove it in an instant? Have we given him the chance to do it? Have we said, at the name of Jesus, get out? Everywhere Jesus went, he called them by name and he said, get out. He said, those demons in Legion, he said, get out. He said, sickness, get out. Hey, little girl who's died, get up and live. Get out, death. Get out, sin. He called them out by name. That's why when we pray, we try to teach people, speak to the spirit, speak to the sickness, speak to the thing and say, get out in Jesus' name. It's not our name. It's not our ability. It's the name of Jesus. They have to obey the name of Jesus. Second thing, the blood of Jesus. We claim the power and victory won by the blood. Amen? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I know it's like a Christianese kind of thing. If you're new to church, it might be the first time you've heard that. And like, that's a little weird. What are they talking about? We're not talking about like a physical blood that we do anything with that's weird. It's the blood of Jesus that was poured out when he gave his life for us. Jesus came in the flesh. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He went to the cross and was nailed with spikes through his wrists and through his feet, whipped, beaten, and he hung on the cross to die for us. That the only way we could truly have victory over our past, over our sin, is through the blood of Jesus. And there's so much I'd like to share that I don't have time for as far as the Old Testament and how there, you know, Hebrews talks about without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. There can be no reconciliation. There can be no restoring us in a right relationship with God without the shedding of blood. And it has to be a perfect, spotless, blameless blood that none of us could provide, but only Jesus could. In Revelation 12:11, it says they have defeated him, speaking in the future about how they overcome, how the saints of the future will overcome potentially us, depending on when Jesus returns. He says they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. They defeated the dragon. They defeated the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. They did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. How do you overcome what you're dealing with right now? Use the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You're reminded of the blood of Jesus is enough to forgive me. If you're someone who right now you're having a hard time forgiving yourself, let me remind you that his blood is more than enough to forgive you. He forgives you. God forgives you. Even while we were sinners, Christ sent his son to die for us. Romans 5:8. That we didn't have to ask him. He just did it out of his heart and love for us. So the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. The word of God is the most powerful resource that I think we take for granted. You go to so many countries where it's banned, so many countries they don't have access to it. I mean, most of us, we probably have more than one Bible in our home, right? And we have a YouVersion Bible app on our phones. How many of you have YouVersion Bible app on your phone? And if you've never read the Bible or you've never really dug in consistently, I encourage you to read the Word of God. The YouVersion Bible app is a great way to start. Get a paper Bible. I'm a little preferential to the paper Bible because then I'm not getting phone notifications that interrupt me. But I want to encourage you to read the Bible in a year. There's Bible plans. They tell you what to read each and every day. And get a translation that makes sense. I'll be honest, King James, I know some people love King James. It's hard for many people to understand in our current modern English language. Get a translation that's easier to understand. NIV, NLT. If you ever have questions, come ask somebody. Say, get me a Bible. We'll give you a Bible in the back. We have Bibles to give you. Because the Word of God, Jesus said this in John 8, 31, 32. He said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, if you abide in my word, if you live there, if you stay there, if you consistently spend time in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And he says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. He's talking about the word. He's talking about himself because he is the word. Those three words, know, truth, and free, it's to perceive experientially. So it's not just head knowledge. This isn't just a textbook of information, but it's we get to know God experientially as we read the word of God. The truth, that reality as opposite of illusion. The devil likes to put on illusions, but God wants to speak truth and reality to us. The freedom, we will truly be set free, released from bondage, a similar word, that removing of restrictions of sin, because God has delivered us into true spiritual freedom. So who are you? When somebody would ask you who you are, it's typically we talk about what we do for work, we talk about our families, but who are you to God? What do you think about you? And maybe more important, what do you think God thinks about you? Have you stopped and asked yourselves that question of who does God really say I am? And then what does his word actually say that he says I am? Because you may think some things that are not true about you. And that's going to continually be a cycle of negativity, of lies. So we reveal those, remove them, and then we replace them with the word of God, what God says about you. So you start with who before do. Your identity is not what you do. Most of us, though, that's typically how we are identified, right? Like, oh, he's the plumber. Oh, he's the doctor. Oh, he's the so-and-so. And it's all based around what we do rather than who we are. Start with who you are. Who does God say you are? And instead of trying to just do more, really remember who you are. And when you read the word of God and what he says about you, you'll remember who you are. We're called human beings. We're supposed to be his children, not just do a bunch of things for him. I want to give you a couple things to invite you to help you grow, help you get spiritually free. One of them is tonight. We have a worship night, 6 p.m. at our Brighton Heights campus. If you've never been to our Brighton Heights campus, you don't know where it is. It's north side of the city of Pittsburgh. Sunday evenings, it's usually not too bad to get there time-wise. You can get the address website on our website. You can go to the connection point, scan that QR code. You'll be able to get there 6 p.m. We're going to be praying for people. There's an extended worship time. I invite you to come on out at 6 p.m. to be there. It's probably going to be standing room only, so get there early if you want a seat. You also have to park a little bit away from the building to get there, so plan to come if you want to make it out tonight. Also, we're in our third week of prayer and fasting. We've been praying as a church Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for 3 days. That's going without food for spiritual purposes. Different people have been doing different things. I invite you to participate. Continue to participate. If you have the last 2 weeks, what's something more God may be asking you to do? Maybe get off social media. Maybe get off of something else that's negatively impacting your mind for the next 3 days, in addition to fasting from food. Also, Wednesday evening, right here in Murraysville, in this room, we're going to have prayer at 6 p.m. This Wednesday, it's our third Wednesday in a row. We're going to have a prayer night. Anybody and everybody's welcome to come. Come learn how to pray if you don't know how to pray. Come participate. Bring your Bible and just sit with us as we pray and seek God and hear from him. But last verse I want to share with you, Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And when he says this, throw off your old sinful nature, he's not saying it like we all have clothes that we've put in a closet, right? Any of you have clothes you haven't worn in probably 5+ years? Anybody? No, I'm the only one. Okay. So we all have clothes that we need to give away or throw away or sell or do something with. Just give it away. But those old, when he says take off that old sinful nature, he's not saying put it in a closet. But many times that's what we do. We become Christians, or we start coming to church, we start learning about God, and we start to take off that old nature, that old selfish person, that old mean person, that old whatever person you used to be, and we just tuck it away just in case we ever need it. But he's saying, when he says take off, throw off your old, he's actually using a phrase there that says, burn it, get rid of it, throw it away. It's garbage now. You cannot pick it up ever again. But many of us, we take it off and we set it somewhere, we hide it somewhere, just in case we'll ever need it. So then we go on our lives following Jesus. We're trying to be a good follower, a good Christian, but then something bad happens. A difficulty with a loved one, a loss, a struggle, whatever that may be. You lose your job and we start going, man, that old jacket was kind of comfortable. And we creep back in and we grab the old sinful nature and we put it on. Because old things sometimes feel good, right? It's comfortable. It fits. It's warm. It's this. Instead, he's saying, get rid of that old way. I have something so much better for you. It's corrupted by lust and deception. That thing stinks. It's got stains. It's old. It should not be picked up again. He says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. God doesn't want you just to put on a new garment. He wants you to be a completely new person. He didn't call you just to add a little bit of good to your life, but to be transformed from the inside out. You can be spiritually set free by the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. If you have surrendered to Jesus. Have you surrendered to Jesus? I think if we're all honest, we all have a little more we can surrender. Right? There's more of our mindset. There's more of our attitudes. There's more habits that we need to surrender to Jesus. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop picking up that old way of thinking and put on my new way of thinking. Would you stand to your feet? Worship team's going to lead us in some more time of worship. Prayer teams, you're dismissed to go to the back of the room. I'm inviting you, the front's open if you want to come up and worship. You want to shout as we heard about Shabbat. You want to go to the back to receive prayer. You can line up on the outside walls and ushers will guide you to the teams in the back. But if there's anything at all, and if we're really honest, we all have something. We have something we need to surrender. We have a mindset. We have a habit. We need something we need to say, God, set me free from this. I give this to you, set me free from it. And let the teams pray for you. If you don't feel comfortable telling them what it is, just say, pray for me. I need more freedom. And they're going to pray for you. If you feel comfortable, tell them like, man, I just keep being a jerk to my wife. I just keep reacting. I keep being angry. Tell them and they'll pray for that. They'll pray for you. Whatever it is you need to surrender to Jesus, let's take this time and do that. Before we do, we have every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've surrendered to Jesus, you know what you get? You get moved from darkness to light. You get moved from death to life. You don't just get to be better. You get to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't just gain a taskmaster God. You get to gain a Father who loves you perfectly. Not maybe as your earthly Father has loved you, but our Heavenly Father loves us perfectly. He sacrifices for you. He serves you. He came to give himself for your benefit. If you've surrendered to Jesus, you get a new mindset. You get a way to have a sound mind, a positive mind, a healthy mind. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to live in fear any longer, but you can live in joy and life and freedom. He truly wants to set you free. So I want to ask if there's anybody here with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know for absolute certainty that you've surrendered your life to Jesus, I want you to make that decision right now. That you can say, Jesus, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way. I know I've screwed up. I know I've messed up. I know I have sinned in my life. I trust that you are more than enough to forgive me. That what you did on the cross, your blood shed for me, is more than enough to forgive me. And that I want to follow you from this day forward. I want to learn about you. I want to take steps to grow as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, you say, I want to make that decision. I want to make sure I'm a follower of Jesus. And I want to learn what that means. I just want you to slip up your hand right where you are. Saying, I want to be forgiven for everything I've ever done. Slip up your hand so we can help pray for you. Amen. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, I pray right now for every single person in this room, God, that we would take this time, this holy moment, to worship you, to exalt your name. God, to surrender more of our lives to you. God, and I pray for those who've never done that before, that they would take today, that today would be a day of salvation. Today would be a new day, that they could be made new as a creation in you, Jesus. Father, I pray that this time would be honoring to you, that we'd be respectful of one another, and God, that you would move during this time. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Worship team, go ahead and lead.